The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Well, apparently we're supposed to do that, although, hell, I don't even know what I'm walking into today. Let's just do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the Tyrant? I don't know. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort, if you want to get in today, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. Aaron wearing his Blackhawks shirt today. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz. You can text the show, you know the number for that. Or if you want to get on Twitch, which is a really cool thing, you can jump on Twitch and join the commentary there, and we will keep it going on the breaks. And it's a Wednesday, so when you call, text, tweet, Twitch, send a Raven, whatever the hell you do, put odds on it. What are the odds I've stalled as long as I possibly can?
Yeah, AJ texted me like right as the ID was playing. It was like, hey, stall for a minute. A little bit hard. You could have told me that when you were walking out of the studio.
Yeah, but... well, it's funny because like, I mean, I could have done it really slow. 713-780-ESPN. But, yeah, so AJ's doing something. So he'll be here in a second. And you can tell that from the Twitch channel. So we'll have some fun today at some point. I enjoyed listening to Josh on the way in. And, yeah, I'm glad he's not fired. That's a good thing. Are you worried about your Blackhawks now?
Not worried. I was upset on Monday because I broke my Cardinalson and bet on a team that I care about. And I was like, all right, they were, I think it was +200 money line and the total was at 6. I was like, I think they can actually have a shutdown defense game, and no. So I lost that bet, but I'm just not betting on any more NHL for a while.
Well, I was, as I mentioned yesterday, I'm kind of trying to get a little more data points, but I've got one I like tonight, which is Pittsburgh -1.5 goals at +155.
Okay.
So if you want to get in on that. But I've come around on this, man. I think betting on teams that you follow is a good thing, and I think RJ finally convinced me of that. And so I've been, you know.
Well, you've got to be willing to also bet against teams that you follow. And that's what a lot of people aren't willing to do.
Right. And I was going to bet against the Maple Leafs last night. I would have been wrong. But
that would have been foolish of you.
But yeah. But I'm loving
it. They won by 1 million.
Yeah. Three. I mean, in hockey, that's a lot. But, and we talked about this the first couple days, that the overs aren't hitting the way they were when the season started. So I'm treating it like a totally new season. And boy, Vegas has been right on the number like so many times. So I've only hit two, and one over and one under, and both of them were pretty easy, but the other ones just went close. So what the hell's going on, man? I'm driving in, I'm hearing all this stuff, and then I have Baytown badasses all over the place.
Well, listen,
what the hell?
There's some things that we can't explain or control, Fred, and that's one of them. Josh. Here's the downside to like when Josh does a joke like that. It was kind of funny that he acted like he was in trouble and that this might be his last show on 97.5. But then people start saying actually like mean things about me in the chat. And then I'm like, oh, well, that's not funny. I don't like that. now the joke's no good. But no, Josh is not in trouble. Josh is doing fine. He's doing a good show. He makes me laugh. That's all that matters. I just like to laugh.
Yeah,
I like to be entertained.
I certainly found it entertaining. But, I think he's brought a really good energy, not just to his show, but to the whole station. So he's been fun to have around. And I hope it lasts a while. But he is believable when he says stuff like that. Except I kind of figured it out pretty quickly. Just because knowing how you operate in here.
Yeah.
And it, a red card would mean off the air right away.
Right.
Yellow card, and you doing soccer.
Right. I didn't even think about the fact that I was bringing him. He asked me for some numbers. I brought him in on a yellow sticky note.
Oh, well.
But then I took the time to. I knew when I was coming in at 3:45, the actual numbers wouldn't be funny. So I drew a picture of Josh and I holding hands. And it said brother and show. And then that led into a whole segment of us just doing brother and show. Although I don't know when Josh and I do the brother and show routine, I don't know which one of us is supposed to be show and which one of us is supposed to be sterner.
That's because you both
we both go in and out of both. So there's no real rhyme or reason to it. Like sometimes brother's talking to brother, sometimes show's talking to show, but it's always fun.
I like it best when brother's talking to brother.
Okay. Yeah, that's fun for me too.
Yeah, that's my favorite one. To me, no offense, show. You're kind of irrelevant.
He's a little boring.
Yeah.
Okay.
Clint's what makes it interesting. So when you get two of those.
Hell yeah, man.
It's like when people use those compilations and make like Skip Bayless argue with Skip Bayless. That's what makes it great.
Right. Well, that's what the last 15 minutes of Josh's show. Obviously, you want to hear back. You can listen on Podcast Arena. I mean, it's just brilliant, brilliant radio that took a lot of planning and a lot of thought. Or it was just two chuckleheads making fun of another person on the air in this town. One or the other. You decide.
Well, it could be both. Why do we have to?
It could be both.
Why do we have to always?
It was only one.
Well, why do we have to be so polarizing? Why can't we have both? It can be both. But
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, and Ty on here said, what are the odds Clint Sterner took one too many hits to the head? I had never heard the guy before, so I switched over between shows, and the impersonation was perfect. both of them do a really good Arkansas Milk. There's no question.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate you saying that, brother.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, and as soon as I'm here, I do a few things early in the office, and I'm in here, and I have the Twitch on, and I'm seeing all those... all the mean things about you. And I'm like,
I'm the worst person. I'm a terrible person. He sucks anyway. They should fire AJ. He's the one who sucks. It's like, whoa, Josh, maybe you should tell him. And Josh is like, no, let's just, Josh and I didn't talk about it, but I'm in my head. I'm thinking Josh is looking at it going, I'm just going to ride this bit out. No big deal. Sure. AJ's taking some heat, but he'll be all right. Don't worry about
it. He can handle it.
He sucks. Okay. Big deal. He sucks. Okay. He'll get over it.
It's not the first time you've heard
Meanwhile,
that.
He doesn't realize I've got a very, very fragile ego. And I get very, very concerned about what's said on me on the internet. And it's basically put me into a tailspin.
How do we get you out of it?
There's no getting out of it now. There's no alcohol here.
I've got... Actually,
all alcohol will do
I've
is
got beer.
Take me into a deeper tailspin.
Oh, that'd be even funnier.
And then I'll crash eventually.
Because I actually have some of that nice vodka sitting in my car that I could go get, if that'll cheer you up.
I brought more beer for today.
Why do you have nice vodka in your car?
Because Aaron picked it up for me.
But wasn't that like a couple days ago?
Well, no.
I picked up two more today.
I got him to get me two more.
Oh, my. Look at you guys just wheeling and dealing.
Yeah. Well, I figured.
Oh, my.
You know, if it's not out of his way, just pick me up a couple and then I'm set.
Do they not have this vodka at Big Specs?
No.
Wow.
No, which to me was, that's why I just assumed you couldn't get it here. Because if you can't get it at the Big Specs...
You just give up.
Which is my home specs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it turns out Total Wine has it. So I think there's a Total Wine near here that has it. But at least now I'm stocked for a while. Because this is sort of a, I don't want to say special occasion vodka, but it's like if I just want vodka and nothing else in it, except maybe some ice, then this is really good. So, I mean, I don't know how long three small bottles will last me, but I'm going to guess not too long. But like, if I'm going to just drink...
Are they're small bottles?
Yeah, I mean, they're not tiny, but they're like the, 750s?
Oh, well, that's not a tiny bottle.
Well, I didn't say it was tiny. I said it was small. I like those big,
liters. The giant squirt top ones.
Let's remember, you don't remember this, Aaron. When I met Fred, Fred was a pour, and Fred drank plastic jug booze.
Polar ice vodka.
I mean...
It was polar ice, and it was Evan Williams whiskey. That was all I could afford.
Nothing to do with any of those booze. So if he would like, hey, I'll bring these booze in the studio, I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm good. And I actually said, well, what happens if you're walking from your car and you drop it? And he's like, Dude, no big deal. It bounces. It's amazing. He's like, I dropped a bottle off my second story balcony. Bounced right back up to me. No big deal.
I dribble it. You know, I get dribbling practice with it. So, oh man. But yeah, this is the stuff when we were out there for the fights, that hotel that was 500 stories that we were in, like, uh-huh. On the 100th story, they had I don't know if you ever went to it, but they had a vodka bar there.
I did not go to the vodka bar.
And so I went through a bunch of their vodka.
I was busy. Me and Nick were busy riding electric scooters around town, almost dying many times just to go get beer. And
I still think that you guys got Cody Stutes on one of those. It was probably the best move of the entire trip. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Happy What Are the Odds Wednesday? 713-780. ESPN is your number. And everybody on Twitch was asking, everybody on the text line is asking what the vodka was. It's called Hanson's. It's from Sonoma, California.
So Hansoms?
Hanson's. Like the Hanson brothers.
Oh, yeah. Mbop, flip the top, ba-do wop. Baby dot, ba-do wop, flip the top, ba-do.
I was thinking of the hockey.
Yeah, yeah.
The hockey line and slap shot of the Hanson brothers.
Oh, I thought you meant the Hanson brothers, the singing Hanson brothers.
No, sorry.
I think they're more famous.
I don't know. Probably, but
that was a big hit. Mbop, flip the top, ba-do wop.
Was that their only one, though?
Well, let's do the game we like to do. Aaron, what is Hanson's second most played song?
Let me do some math.
Carry the two.
So there are two different versions of Mbop.
That's on number one
Spotify
and two.
That are number one and two.
What's like the difference between them? Is one an instrumental?
One's in Spanish.
One is called the single version, and then one's the album version.
Oh, okay. And which one's number one? The singles version?
Yes.
Okay. By a good sight?
Yeah, 104 million. The album version is 73 million.
Okay. Now, what's the drop-off to the third song?
Song number three is a song called I Will Come to You at 8 million.
8 million. Yeah. That's a one-hit wonder.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, their top two songs are the same song.
Yeah. I would take that, though. I would be a one-hit wonder if I could get 173 million on one song. Chuck wants to know, what are the odds Fred gets a haircut before winter? And shout out to Jerry Bowe. Yeah, Jerry's been cranking out the picks for the people. I don't know when I'm getting a haircut. And Chuck, you're not going to make me, so stop trying. I'll get a cut when I feel like getting a cut. Right now, I'm kind of liking the Colombian drug lord look. So that's kind of what I'm going with. You guys can't bully me into cutting my hair.
No.
I mean, it's not going to happen. If Hoffman can't do it, then you can't do
it.
Well,
I can't cut my hair any different.
No, but you can't bully me into cutting my hair. So, therefore, if you can't pull it off, certainly Chuck can't pull it off.
Did you see this Johnny Manziel tweet?
No. What do you do now?
Someone just sent this to me. Darren Rovell said, SI covers 7 years ago today. Apparently, there were two separate episodes of SI out. And one of them had A-Rod on the cover. And it said, A-Rod is at rock bottom. Johnny Manziel is the envy of the college football world. The other one had Johnny Manziel on it. Today, A-Rod is as relevant as ever. Manziel achieves a flash of relevance by flipping off a building into a pool. And Johnny quote tweeted and said, 7 years later, you're still as big of a bitch as ever. Now, this is a tough matchup for me. Like, who do I dislike more?
Yeah, this is the
John Football or Darren Rovell?
This is the devil versus Satan.
Ooh, This is like Hanson album version of Mbop versus singles version of Mbop. Which one do I like better? It's so hard to decide. And often you look at them and it's the same thing. Now you hear them and it's the same thing. But
no, you know what this is? Carmela Soprano versus Skylar.
These are tough decisions.
Yeah. This is Trump versus Biden. I'm just not going to vote.
We need Joe Jorgensen to come in and be the mediator between. That needs to be A-Rod. He needs to come through and be the one that saves us all.
Or Skip Bayless, because you hate him just as much.
I do. Josh said, "Where's the love? I will come to you." Both Hanson songs. Josh knew the Hanson songs before you looked them up.
Of course he did.
Josh is he's a treasure trove of really, really. I don't want to say it's not all bad music, but Josh likes a lot of music I consider to be bad. He spent a lot of time yesterday defending Nickelback, and he's like, no one can explain why they don't like Nickelback. And it's like, well, I mean, it's hard to explain why you don't like any music that you don't like. It just doesn't appeal to you. The music doesn't appeal to you. But
see, I kind of have a theory about Nickelback that I finally developed.
Theory of a dead man, your second favorite band?
Hey, don't make fun of them.
Do you like them?
I like Bad Girlfriend. That's a pretty fun song.
That's a bad band also.
Yeah, okay. But Nickelback sells millions of albums. Nobody admits they like them.
That's
right?
True. Now, that's one thing I will admit that Josh is right about, because they do sell records and their stuff gets played. I mean, they're a big time band, or they were. I don't know if they still are.
Here's another one for you. Nobody says they like Drake, who sells a bunch of millions of records.
It's true.
What do those two have in common?
Canadians.
Yes. People don't like Canadians down here.
Justin Bieber.
There you go. There's another one. Celine Dion. Rush.
Rush.
Except people do admit they like Rush.
I don't.
You don't.
Now that I think about it, I don't like any music out of Canada. I got nothing. Because I don't like Drake or Justin Bieber either.
Well.
You don't like Neil Young?
Oh, yeah, I do like Neil Young.
Yeah, there you go. That's one.
Old man, look at my life. Yeah, I do like Neil Young.
Okay.
Although Neil Young is another one of those things that I sometimes, if you listen to Neil Young for long, you get depressed. And it's like, why do I listen to Neil Young? And I don't really like Neil Young as Neil Young. I like Neil Young when he's in the group. I like it when it's a four-headed monster. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. When it's just Young, it's like, it's a little much for me.
Southern
man don't need him around anyhow. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, here's some other ones. I don't know if you like Our Lady Peace. Do you like them at all?
I couldn't name a song.
Okay.
I think if I heard their biggest hit, I would probably know it.
Their biggest hit is going to be a lot less than Mbop. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I like Leonard Cohen, but he's dead.
Yeah, he's very dead. And there's some more obscure Canadian bands that I like that you wouldn't like.
Well, you're a big fan of K.D. Lang. But that's because you both look like lesbians.
Well, you know. It's nice to have someone to look up to. But no, I like April Wine. I like Honeymoon Suite.
Michael Bublé.
No, not Michael Bublé. Although he sang the Canadian national anthem before one of the hockey games this weekend.
Is Nelly Furtado Canadian?
I don't know.
I should think Nelly Furtado was really hot. Mm.
Triumph is another one that I liked growing up.
I've never heard of that band.
Yeah, you would have. You'll hear a song like, okay, Aaron, find Lay It on the Line. I'm sure you've heard that somewhere, and you probably
I've heard of Bryan Adams.
Nelly Furtado is Canadian.
Mm. Nelly Furtado,
half Canadian, half Portuguese.
Oh, maybe that's why she's hot.
That's an interesting name.
I like Alanis Morissette. Well, I did.
Well, she was a one album wonder. Like she had that one album that was really good.
That album had like 5 or 6 mega hits on it. That was a massive album.
Yeah.
She's a big star. I don't know what she's doing anymore. And to think all that came from like breaking up with the guy on Full House.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
That whole album was just filled with Catholic angst.
Alanis Morissette, Taylor Swift, and Adele. Has anyone capitalized more off of breaking up with boyfriends? I don't think so.
Yeah, since Adele's been happy, have we seen anything from her?
Yeah, where's her hits now?
Yeah, that's, you can't have it.
Taylor Swift stays breaking up with dudes. That way, boom, new album. Oh, writer's block. I know. I'll break up with dude. Boom, new album. Hits. Hits, baby.
Yeah, you know what?
I don't know about Drake's sex life. I don't know if, what's going on with him, but he is making hits.
Have you ever heard this? Well, you gotta wait. You gotta wait till it kicks in. This is a guitar line's pretty memorable.
Well, crank it up there.
Now, it's also the same three chords used in 99% of rock songs.
Yeah, no, I can tell you now, I've not heard this song, nor do I like it.
Okay.
Avril Lavigne is Canadian. He was a skater boy. She said, "See you later, boy." Oh, I have heard this.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah. You've heard that song, yeah. You just had to get to the chorus. Yeah, that's Triumph. Rick Emmett, pretty good guitarist. All right.
Well, yeah, it's easy to be a good guitarist when you play the same three chords over and
well,
over.
Well, he's actually plays a very good lead guitar, but yeah, it is the same. I guarantee you, if we did some kind of search, there's probably 5,000 songs that use these same three chords. At least 5,000. So just if you want to learn how to play 80s rock.
It ain't that hard.
That's the same chords as, what's the Ronnie James Dio song?
Holy Diver!
No, not Holy Diver. Oh. Rainbow in the Dark. Same chords. There's actually four, but he kind of cheats. So yeah, just go learn those. You can play all these songs.
I've got a list of the 10 greatest Canadian rock stars.
Oh, really? We'll do that when we come back. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Somebody asked, what about 3 Days Grace?
3 Days Grace is not a very good band.
Well, they were really good up until he sobered up, because all his songs were about drugs.
They were better until Adam Gontier decided to just leave.
Yeah.
Is there a more Canadian name than Adam Gontier? Here's the Rolling Stones readers poll of the 10 greatest Canadian bands.
Okay.
Number 10, Arcade Fire. Now, are they the ones we were talking about? No, that was the Ataris. Who does is it Arcade
Boys
Fire?
Boys of Summer?
Yeah, Boys
That's
of Summer.
The
That's the Ataris.
Ataris.
Yeah. Okay. What's Arcade Fire sing?
Their biggest song is called Wake Up.
Play it. Are you familiar with these guys?
No. That sounds like Bachman Turner Overdrive, though. Like a cheap ripoff. Yeah, I've never heard this.
Do they say words in this song?
I think Trey's an Arcade Fire fan.
Is this from?
Is this a Trey band?
Yeah, then okay.
You know what? I've heard this song before.
It's used in commercials and stuff.
Yeah.
I've seen this band in concert before.
There you go.
At ACL Fest, I'm pretty sure.
Like, yeah, not by choice. You weren't there for
No, I wasn't there to see Arcade Fire, but I'm pretty sure I've seen Arcade Fire.
Yeah, I think I've heard this too.
Yeah, it's a dude and a chick.
Everybody's saying one of those guys is from here, though. That shouldn't even count.
Well, it says Wynn Butler and Josh Dieu started playing music together at Montreal's Concordia University. They met Régine Chazin at nearby McGill University, and soon they were writing future classics like No Cars Go and Wake Up. Their rise was meteoric, and before they knew it, they were sharing stages with the likes of David Bowie and Bruce Springsteen, headlining festivals and arenas all over the globe. Butler was born in Texas, but Chassain and most of the other members were born in Canada.
Yeah, see, I think you have to be born there. It doesn't count.
And they continue to spend much of their time up there.
Sorry. I'm going to throw a flag on that one.
Number 9, based on when these guys were put together and how old they look, I'm going to guess you know these guys. Saga.
Yes, I remember them. That was from my era. Don't remember much about them, but I do remember them.
Number eight, The Tragically Hip.
It's a little low for The Tragically Hip. Now, they got a lot more famous at the end because that guy was dying of cancer.
Yeah.
They had 20 million people watch that concert.
It says they are known as Canada's REM.
I think it's fair. They have a very similar style. I mean I like them. I don't like them, don't love them.
Number seven, Bryan Adams.
Okay.
Bryan Adams, people forget, he had some massive, massive hits. Like Summer of 69, everybody knows that.
But he had the song from Robin Hood that was huge.
It was called Everything I Do It For You. Yeah. And then he did a song for the Three Musketeers called All for Love.
Yeah, I remember that.
And those soundtracks blew up. So that's pretty smart. And he had another one. So I Finally Found Someone from The Mirror Has Two Faces. I don't know that movie. But
I'd be curious what his top downloads are. Because
Summer of 69.
That'll be number one. But I bet you there's a couple we haven't mentioned that would be in his top five.
Cuts Like a Knife.
That one would be in there.
Heaven.
That's another one, yeah. Jeez, that dude had a bunch of hits.
If we're going by Spotify, of course, Summer of 69 in the lead. Commanding lead at 477 million.
Jeez.
In second place, Everything I Do,
okay.
234. Heaven is in third with 218.
And then Cuts Like a Knife.
No.
All
Please
for love.
Forgive me.
Please, oh yeah. Please forgive me. I know not what I do.
And then fifth,
I can't stop loving you.
And fifth, Run to You.
Okay. Oh God, I forgot about that one. See, I knew there'd be a couple that we just totally forgot about.
Cuts like a knife isn't even his top 10.
Wow, really? Look at that.
Huh.
Number six, The Guess Who.
Okay, that's not bad.
Didn't they sing American Woman?
Yeah.
But they were Canadian?
Stay away from me. Yes.
That's really, really...
Xenophobic?
Xenophobic, yeah.
Yeah, well, I know a lot of Canadians. Some of them do have a little penis envy of the States. There's no question.
You know what song I like from The Guess Who? More Than American Woman? No sugar tonight in my coffee. No sugar tonight in my tea. Na, 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 na.
That one is pretty good.
I like that. Number five. Oh, I didn't know these guys were Canadian. Oh, they're 80% Canadian.
Who's that? Bachman Turner Overdrive?
No, The Band.
Oh yeah. Well, that's another one that's kind of mixed.
But are they a one hit wonder? The Wait is such a great song. And
I don't know if they were, but they were really short term. I mean, they were kind of flash in the pan, but they were also one of the most respected bands of that entire era.
Yeah, I would have never put them as Canadians. Look at that. The night they because they sang The Night they Drove Old Dixie Down.
Yeah.
So you just assume that's an American band. Like, what kind of Canadians are singing about the Civil War? What's their second most downloaded song? What's the gap?
That would be it. The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down.
Okay, what's the gap between The Wait, which is probably one of the 50 best songs ever written, and that song? What's the gap?
The Wait clocks in at 159 million.
Okay.
The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down, 41 million.
Oh, yeah, that's a big gap. That's a big gap. Number four, Fred. You guys have the same haircut, Joni Mitchell.
Okay, I guess I could see that.
Number three, Corey Hart. He wears his sunglasses
at night.
What's his other song? Surrender.
Never Surrender. He's got one other one, too, I think, if I recall. I can't remember. I'm taking issue with this list because there's only, what, two spots left?
Two spots left.
And I'm guessing one of them's BTO and the other one's Rush?
No.
Then I have some real problems with this list. Then.
Rush is number two.
Okay.
Neil Young is number one.
Okay, No Triumph is a crime. No BTO is a crime. And...
Who are you going to kick off? Joni Mitchell? Bryan Adams?
I'll kick off that band that, the number 10 band for sure.
Arcade Fire.
Yeah, sorry, bye.
Brandon he's pretty hip. Brandon, do you know Arcade Fire? Are they good? Okay, Brandon likes them. Brandon's like he's a little younger than me. I say a little younger. He's probably significantly younger than me.
No, he just looks significantly younger than you.
He plays much younger than me. Like, he seems like a cool guy. Like, I'm the guy that, like, I still listen to music from the 90s and the 70s. So I'm not really that cool. But Brandon, he seems like he's up on top of all the new hip stuff. And he probably was like, oh, yeah, I saw Arcade Fire when they were an indie band. And now he's like, oh, they sold out because they got on the record label. They're just not as good as they used to. That's the kind of dude Brandon is, but he would know them much better than I would. So you'd kick them off? Would you kick Saga off the list?
Yeah, they got to go. I mean,
but what about Nelly Furtado then?
I don't know enough about Nelly Furtado, so I really don't.
She's a stone cold fox.
Well, then I wouldn't knock her off. But how is Bachman Turner Overdrive not top five? Come on, man. Taking care of business. I mean, they were, well, and they still play, that song still gets played everywhere, like commercials, everything.
Yeah, but does that make them a good band?
Well, better than some of that crap on there.
I mean,
I don't think it's a very good list. That's all.
So they do Taking Care of Business and You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. What else? What's their other?
Well, that's two more than most of these guys have.
Okay.
I mean, those are pretty big.
They are big hits.
But
baby, you just ain't seen nothing yet. That was back when they were making fun of stuttering before I was.
Exactly. You got in trouble for that.
I got in trouble. They made stuttering into a hit song.
See, if you'd have done it the right way, you'd be rich. Mon asks, how do have Canadian bands that made it, but I don't hear about bands from France. I've always talked about they have a great law up there called the Canadian Content Law, where a certain amount of music on every station has to be from Canadian bands.
Well, here's the other thing why you hear about it. All these Canadian singers, they're selling their stuff in America. And they're speaking English. I mean, I'm sure there's famous musicians in France who speak French, but nobody hears behind it. I wish I could remember this, and you guys probably don't. Aaron, you might. There was a kid. He was like an actual kid who had a hit song in the U.S., and it was in French.
Ooh.
And this was like late 80s, early 90s. And he would say, it's something, baby. I don't know. I wish I could remember this kid's name or the name of the song. I'm going to look it up during the break. We'll get to the bottom of this mystery. But he was the most famous French musician as far as I'm concerned. But he was a literal child, and he sounded like a child. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, some 15-year-old Rebecca Black. I'm talking about, like, a child who was in like grade school and talked like a baby.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that ever. I don't have to hear it.
It's a French rap.
I don't want to hear it because I don't like when little kids sing. I don't like when little kids are in commercials. There's that one commercial where all the adults are talking in kid voices about gummies. I hate that. I don't want to hear little kid voices on TV.
Jordy.
Not familiar.
Okay, look up Jordy on Spotify. And there should only be one. There should only be one song. It should be called "Dieu Dieu Dietre Baby."
That almost
J-O-R-D-Y. I think there's a different Jordy out there because all of his songs are in English.
Maybe he converted. Maybe he had his one hit and came to America.
Well, let's look on YouTube. He's the youngest. Jordy is listed as Guinness Book of World Records as the youngest singer ever to have a number one charted single. He achieved this in 1992 at the age of 4 and a half. That's not Jordy.
No, we'll get him on the other side.
Oh, okay.
All right.
It's called. When you looked up Jordy, was there a song called "It's Tough to Be a Baby"?
No.
Because that's what the French thing translates to. It was number one for 15 weeks in France. Was a dance hit across Europe, Brazil, Latin America, South Korea, and Japan. And it landed at number 58 on the Billboard Top 100.
Interesting.
We've got to hear this song.
All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
You know, if you accomplish the best thing you're ever going to do at 4.5 years old, isn't the rest of your life pretty much screwed?
There were concerns that he was being exploited by his parents.
So? If I had a kid who could do that and
really?
Make me a bunch of money.
4.5 years old, you think he decided for himself, I want to be a star? No, I'm pretty sure there shouldn't have been concerns. It should have been obvious.
Dude, if my kids could have made millions at 4.5 years old, oh well.
Yeah.
You know, learn to adjust, damn it.
Good for him. I don't know why. It's the only French singer I could think of. I couldn't think of his name, but now I know it's Jordy.
He's also the son of a music producer.
Oh, shocker. I'm a music producer. I can't seem to find an act that wants to work with me that'll, you know, get me a big hit. I know my 4-year-old will do it.
I'll just spit one out.
Yeah. It's tough being a baby.
See, you came up with a pretty good idea on the break. I think we should have a name that tune between Josh and Juggy Trey.
Josh Ennis and Juggalo Trey, both who love music. I would love to see that battle. They both know a lot of obscure songs. I'd be curious who would win that thing. And, you know, I always hear about Gilbert, the caller to the morning show, and apparently he has just a wealth of knowledge. He loves John Granato. He has no idea who I am. Gilbert is so dedicated to John and Lance. And I think John in particular, I think he could take or leave Lance. But he loves John so much that I don't think he listened. And you would think Gilbert was the kind of guy who just listened to sports radio all day. But apparently, no idea.
I think the second Granato signs off, he turns on ABC 13, and that's all he watches.
He's out, yeah. I mean, and God bless him, you know. We need all the listeners we can get at any time slot on this station. So God bless him for listening to John. But I saw him one time, and I assumed it was him because he was wearing a bike helmet here in the studio. Not in the studio, he was picking up a prize, and I heard him talking to Esme. So now I know, I'm like, okay, I hear him talk. He's wearing a bike helmet. This is obviously Gilbert. And I introduced myself to him. He's like, you know John anyway? And I said, yeah, I know John. Go get him. Tell him I'm here. It's Gilbert. I was like, well, hey, John's not here. Now, at this point, it was 1 in the afternoon, so John no longer here at the station. He said, well just tell him I came by. And he was here to pick up some sort of a prize. I'm sure John probably didn't send him a text and say, hey, sorry, I missed you. But Gilbert, it could care less. I was like, oh, hey, I'm AJ. And he's like, you know John anyway? Yeah. I know John a little bit. So, but he's not at all interested in our show. Otherwise, I'd make it a 3-man game. I do like to do game shows. This is, I guess, honestly, when I really break it down, why did you get into radio? It's because I'm a failed game show host. I wanted to be a game show host so badly. I've never been able to do it. And this is as close as I can get to having a game show. So I sometimes do game shows here. And I think I do a good job hosting game shows on the air. Like when we played Love Connection on the show before. We've played the Newlywed game. We played Black Jeopardy before. I came up with the idea of Black Jeopardy, and Saturday Night Live appropriated it from me. They just took it, and then they started playing it on Saturday Night Live. And I'm like, hey, what the hell? I came up with that game. I used to play a different kind of Love Connection in Austin that you can't talk about on the air anymore because the word that I used at the time is now considered insensitive.
Yeah, yeah.
But I played that game where I...
That would have been fun, actually.
Where I found love between two mentally handicapped people. I guess now we could call it slow love connection.
Yeah.
Would that be what we would call it now?
I don't know, man.
Slow is not the... It's not an acceptable term?
We I don't know.
What do we call it? Mentally handicapable love connection?
I was kind of thinking handicapable, but that doesn't quite do it.
I don't know what we would call it now.
Yeah.
Because It's 2020, so
it's got to be something really PC.
This game show was invented in 2006 when you could say the R word on the air and you could actually name a game show R word Love Connection. But we can't do that anymore.
Mott says you guys do these lists for different categories, but you rarely do just American. Would Jimmy be considered American or British? I think you might have missed it, but we did about an hour on the best American bands fairly recently. And no, you don't get to count Jimmy.
Jimmy's the only American in the band.
Yeah. So, somebody need to do the pepper spray game. Nope, we learned our lesson from that.
Listen, you live, you learn. I learned a lot from all of these.
I think if Josh is still with us when the Roanaverse ends and we actually can start doing full packed live road shows again,
that would be an awesome place to do it.
That would be something to do, yeah. Is dedicate an hour of the show to Josh and Trey doing Name That Tune.
Yeah, the problem is though, like when you need a sterile environment to do these game shows. You can't do those game shows out in public because it's too noisy. People are yelling and distracting. Like that has to be we'd have to get them in here and do it in the studio, I believe. Now, but I think we could do that.
Now, if you just narrowed the category to 80s rock bands, I think I could take Trey.
Ooh, okay.
80s hair bands / metal bands.
But that's the thing. You're what we would call you're like a left-handed pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean, good for one batter.
In general, no. He'd kill me. But but for something like that, I think I could take him. But I think he and Josh like a lot of the same stuff. I think that'd be an interesting competition. So
I got some good news today.
Yeah.
You're too old to have appreciated this. Aaron, did you watch the Ren and Stimpy show when you were a kid?
Yes, I did.
I loved the Ren and Stimpy show. And I mean, this was like a Ren and Stimpy show was an early 90s cartoon that came on Nickelodeon. And I remember it well. I was a Tidy Whitey's kid for the longest time. And then I found some Ren and Stimpy boxer shorts at the mall. And I bought two pairs, a green pair and a black pair. And I would make my mom wash them every night so I could only wear those two pairs of underwear. And I loved the Ren and Stimpy show. I had
Which you probably shouldn't have been watching at that age.
Probably not. I had I don't want to say it was a doll because it was of a chihuahua. It was partially stuffed. So I guess it was more of a stuffed animal than anything. But when you squeezed its belly, it would fart and its tail would shoot straight out.
That sounds like the perfect gift for you.
Yeah. So that's what I was into. Well, a reimagined version of the Ren and Stimpy show is returning to television after 25 years away. The original creator of the show, John Kricfalusi, who was accused of sexual misconduct in 2018, will not be affiliated with the new show. But Viacom CBS says a new creative team at Nickelodeon Animation Studios will work on the project and it will air on Comedy Central. I'm in for that.
It's a cartoon. You know, it's a cartoon.
I know. Well, so is Beavis and Butthead. When Beavis and Butthead comes back, I'm sure I'll watch it once or twice, and I'll be like, okay, this is stupid. But I've got to try it for nostalgia purposes. I've got to try it. I'll have to try this for nostalgia purposes.
Okay.
I may only watch one or two episodes, though.
You still haven't set up Apple TV yet, have you?
No.
You've got to watch that Beastie thing.
I know. It's on my list. It's on my list.
I guarantee you, it's because I'll say I've watched a lot of music type documentaries and, you know, fictionalized movies about people. This is the best one, period. Anything you come up with, even the ZZ Top one that I love so much, this is better than that. Just the way it's done. It's almost like a trip through life with these guys. And I didn't know them as well as you did. I know the songs and I didn't realize stuff like they had to, before Sabotage, they were playing basically clubs. They had fallen so far down. And it was just, I mean, fascinating stuff.
Well, that's all stuff I didn't know either. It's not like when I was a kid, I loved the Beastie Boys, but it's not like I was watching Behind the Music back then. Yeah, all I did was listen to the albums, and I was like, oh, my God.
Well, I mean,
I've said it before. The Beastie Boys were the first band that I felt like was my band. Like, I felt like this is music made for me. Obviously, because I'm a Jewish kid from New York, they were speaking directly to me. But I did find a connection with the Beastie Boys, and I loved their music. And so if they fell off, I would have never known it.
Yeah.
Because to me, they didn't. And I remember it was like 1998. I want to say 1998 or 90. I think I just got out of basic training, and I had like 3 days of leave before I went to airborne school. And I went to the mall there in Columbus, Georgia, and the Beastie Boys CD, Hello Nasty, had just come out. The one with the sardine can on the front.
Yeah.
I didn't have a CD player at the time because I was at basic training, but I bought the CD anyway because, you know, 17-year-old me was like, oh, might be sold out by the time I get done with Airborne. I got to get it now. Like CDs ever sell out. Of course, back then, you never knew.
Yeah, well, when they were new, that's like I the first one I bought was Appetite for Destruction. And I didn't want to take a chance on somebody else might get it.
Yep. Ryan, so I can't believe that it does seem wrong that the creator of Ren and Stimpy isn't involved in the re-up. Like that's his intellectual property.
He didn't sexually harass any cartoon characters, so it should be okay, right?
Hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'll teach you to be happy.
All right, let's take a quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Well, boys and girls, let's try it again.
Happy joy.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.